May it be our prayer for every day this year. Happy New Year to everyone. We've had lots of blessings in the year past, perhaps some trials, but the Lord is still the same. He's still on His throne. He's still in control. Nothing surprises Him. Nothing will ever hinder Him from doing His will. You know, Nebuchadnezzar found that out, didn't he? None can stay His hand or say to Him, "What doest thou?" How wonderful that we have the opportunity to worship the only true and living God. Not only is it a privilege that we have the opportunity, it is the privilege, and what a blessing it is that He has blessed us to know Him as the only true and living God. You know, the Word of God teaches us that except He reveal Himself to us, we'll not know Him. So it is a blessed privilege. We're continuing in the book of Ephesians, getting close to the end. For some time now, we've been in the section in chapter 5 and beginning of chapter 6, where there's several relationships that are mentioned. The book itself, you know, we mentioned the fact that the book starts, the first three chapters are basically doctrine, and then the last three chapters are more practical in nature. But really, if it's the teaching of the Bible, it's all doctrine, isn't it? I mean, doctrine is teaching. And so these fundamental principles, in the beginning of the book, he teaches us of our relationship that God established with us, and the things that He's done for us. And all the rest of the book teaches us how we're to respond to Him. Now, He deserves a response, doesn't He? If you understand what He has done for us in saving us eternally from our sins through sending His own Son into this world to suffer and die, to redeem us and to reconcile us to God and to preserve us unto His heavenly kingdom, and then to eternally enjoy that kingdom, that's what God's given us. My goodness. Then to go through this life carelessly and not thinking about the goodness and mercy of God and all that He's done for us, how much of ingratitude is that? If indeed He has blessed us to know Him and to know the truth as it is in Christ Jesus. And so we had lots of teaching, just basic teaching about how we as disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ should conduct ourselves, how we're to walk before Him. We had teaching of how that husbands and wives should dwell with one another in peace and honor that order that God has established in the home. We then looked at the relationship between parents and children. Today, we look at servants and masters. Now, just think for a minute, back in the culture when this was written, then servants and masters was a much more common thing than it is today. All right, but that doesn't mean that that principle is not alive and well, does it? The Bible is timeless. God, in His infinite wisdom, moved these writers of the Bible to record those things that His people would need in all ages of time. Don't ever let anyone try to convince you that the Bible is out of date. But we're living in a culture where people want to go to the expert. They don't want to hear that old-fashioned Bible. They want to seek out the experts. Bless your heart's the only thing and the best thing that will lead you to peace and joy in this life is taking what this book says and living according to it. That's guaranteed. I'm not saying you won't have any problems. I'm not saying life won't be rough at times. I'm saying the best path for us to follow in this life in order for peace and joy in our hearts is to be at peace with God. God sent His Son to this world to reconcile us unto Himself. But in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, Paul admonished the brethren at Corinth to be ye reconciled to God. And by obedience and walking in the pathway of righteousness and truth is how we reconcile ourselves to him. He has blessed us to know him. He's blessed us to know his way. Now our opportunity and our privilege and our duty is to walk in it. And that's what we've been trying to talk about as we've gone through the book of Ephesians, our walk, the Christian walk, how we should follow him, how we should serve him, how we should take these timeless principles that he's given us in his word and put them to practice in our lives. It'll be a blessing to you. It'll be a blessing to those around you. And it'll bring honor and glory to God. Okay, so verse 5 of Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians 6, verse 5. Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in singleness of your heart, as unto Christ. You see the thrust of that verse? A person in the position of a servant is being exhorted by the Word of God to look beyond that earthly master and to do their work as if they were serving Christ directly. Now, as I made mention of the fact that servants and masters is not as common in our culture today as it was in that day, but we do have the principle today, and that of employer and employee. And these same principles that are being taught to us here apply just as well to that employer and employee relationship. So that principle is alive and well. Now let me ask you a question. Is it a good thing to have a good work ethic? Is it a good thing to have a good attitude toward your employment? Now, I know there's some bosses that it's just tough to work for. You know, there's people that it's just tough to get along with. But God calls upon us to walk according to his standard, not the prevailing attitudes of those around us. You know, you can get into a group of folks on the job that's got a sour attitude, and it's just miserable to go to that place, isn't it? All right? But the Word of God calls upon us to follow him, to follow his standard, to live according to what is pleasing in his sight, and to be a part of the solution and not a part of the problem. And so attitude is tremendously important in many things, and I'm sure you've been exposed to that and tested that and seen the fruits of that, to have a good attitude about things. Well, if we've got the Word of God to back us up, we've got the Word of God to guide us in this, then certainly we can take that good attitude and apply these principles and find a lot more joy in life. All right? So when he says servants, that would be the employee side of this, wouldn't it? Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters. Now, I realize that the word your here is italicized, which means when this was translated from the original languages, the translators had to supply some words from in places to make it flow in our language. But that doesn't mean that you need to ignore that italicized word. The more you read and the more you study about the translation of the King James Bible, I honestly, in my humble opinion, the more you read about it and the more a spiritual mind looks at that, the more you will conclude that God in his providence guided those translators and this work to bring God's word into our language. And there's much that's been written about it, and I encourage you to study it out and to compare those things, and maybe we can do some of that in the days ahead. But I just want to say that Because the point I want to make here really hinges on this italicized word, and I don't want you to believe that italicized word is not important. I mean, I've heard preachers say, now you could just ignore that because it was supplied by the translators. I don't agree with that at all. All right, because it's consistent with some things that we talked about with the relationship between husbands and wives. When wives were charged to be obedient to their own, or submissive to their own husbands. Their own husbands. And here it says, servants, be obedient to them that are your masters. And what he's emphasizing here is that personal responsibility that we have to have a good conscience before God and to take that opportunity we have to be a good employee. You know, how terrible would it be if the people that worked at a company, if all of those that had a bad attitude and weren't doing what they should, somebody found out, well, you know, those people are Christians. That would be terrible, wouldn't it? If the Christians were the ones that weren't doing a good job. Bless your hearts, no matter where we work, what we do, above all of that, in this life, if God has blessed us with His Spirit, if God has blessed us with an understanding of who we are, then whatever we do and wherever we are a child of God. We are a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we ought to conduct ourselves as such no matter what we are doing. God sees all and He knows all. If we're His child, then we need to act like His child wherever we are. And how vitally important it is, and how much joy it would be or bring to our lives to follow that principle as an employee. All right, so when he says, servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh. What he's talking about here is these earthly responsibilities, these earthly activities. We're in this world. We're not of this world, but we're in this world. We have to make our way in this world. We have to earn a living in this world. And so he's telling us here some guiding principles that will help us each day to have more joy and satisfaction in what we do if we'll follow it in the way that he tells us to go about doing those things from his word. Be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh. Obedient. What does that word mean? Well, we all know that, don't we? Well, do you? I'm not going to go into a long word study here on the word obedient, but just think about it. Are we obedient if we do half of what the boss tells us to do? Are we obedient if we grumble and complain about it all the way? Well, you might get it done. Okay, and I know sometimes it's a challenge. I've been there. I know sometimes it's a challenge to work for someone maybe that you don't have any respect for. I know it's a challenge sometimes to do things that maybe you don't agree with. And I think we'll see in this that this is not a command for you to do something unlawful. I mean, God's reasonable in His requirements. But what He is saying is for a general guiding principle. If you're receiving your livelihood from that job, bless your heart, you need to be on board with that company and try to do the best you can for them. Because after all, you have a vested interest in that company being successful, don't you? You want to keep getting a paycheck. All right, so if you want to earn those things, we need to earn and we need to teach our children. You know, my daddy used to say, if something's worth doing, it's worth doing right. Okay? I had a boss one time that his idea was to do it right or do it over. You know, and there, sometimes there was never enough time to do it right. But that's the kind of things you have to deal with, isn't it? So it might be that you might need to be praying a little bit more about that job if you've got some difficulties about it. praying to the one that can take care of the situation. All right? But to be obedient, all right, we need to, first of all, realize that they're the ones in charge. They're the ones that tell us what to do. And we need to try to do it as best we can. And we need to do it in a way that they would want it to be done. So there's a lot to this idea of obedience rather than just simply the legality or the legalistic way of looking at getting it done. Okay? So think about that as we go through life and as we try to apply these principles. When he says, be obedient to them that are your masters, according to the flesh. Before we get to the rest of that, this principle is taught in several other places. And I'll just get a couple of them. 1 Peter chapter 2, because each time it's mentioned, like we did with some of the other principles earlier in this book, each time this is mentioned by other writers, there's a little another element brought in. And when you compare all the aspects of what's said here, you get a better picture of the full lesson. So in 1 Peter chapter 2, down in verse 18, now this is a different writer, Peter, okay, but inspired by the same Spirit, right? All right, so we're getting the same lesson. He says in verse 18, servants, be subject to your masters, there's that word again, your masters, with all fear, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the froward. I don't use that word in regular conversation, do you? Froward. Can you tell me what it means? Should we just ignore it if we don't know what it means? That's the way most Bible reading goes, isn't it? You know, you just, if you don't know what the word means, just, well, we'll skip that, go on. That's the difference between Bible reading and Bible study, by the way. If you want to know what it means, you're going to have to study something sometimes. All right, froward. Let me give you an easy way of understanding what that word means without even going to the dictionary. He's making a comparison or drawing a contrast. Okay? He said, be subject to your masters with all fear, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the froward. In other words, what he's saying, even if you don't know what froward means, he's telling you not only to the good and gentle, but those that are not good and gentle. Now that helps a lot, doesn't it? You ever had one of those bosses that you didn't think was good and gentle? I have. I suspect most of you have. So sometimes it's a challenge to be obedient to the Word of God. Not that you don't want to be, but that other people get in the way. But you know what? You can't control other people. But we've got the guiding principle. We know what would please God. And if somebody's being cruel and somebody's being unkind and if somebody's being unchristian and somebody's making demands upon us that are not reasonable, God will take care of that. Now, I'm not saying he'll change the person the next day, but I'm saying you can trust God. You can go ahead and do what he says to do. Try to do it as best as you can and depend upon the Lord to take care of the consequences. Isn't that a wonderful way to approach the matter? Just leave it in the Lord's hands. He knows the best way to handle that situation. He's been doing it for a long time. And he's not going to lay down on the job. He's going to get his job done. All right? So if he's given us this requirement, then he will help us and he will take care of us when we trust him and do the best we can in what we're commanded to do. He'll come behind and take care of the consequences. There's an Old Testament word for that. Do you remember that word? The rearward. Isaiah spoke about that. The rearward. Boy, that's a tongue twister. But that was that portion of the army as they went through and marched and took care of the battle. There was a company of people that would come behind and take care of the consequences. And Isaiah says, God says through Isaiah, he would be our rearward. I'll have to look that up. I don't remember the address for that, but you can easily find it. All right? So when God tells us how we should go about it, and as we're trying to follow the teachings of God's word, and if we meet up with someone, a boss or a supervisor or somebody else in the company above us that's making it difficult for us, then we've got something to pray about. Because the Lord will help us take care so that we can continue to obey him. Now you can trust in that. You can rest in that. You can go lie down at night saying, Lord, I did the best I can. I'm dependent on you to help me. You know, that's an honorable prayer because it expresses our submission to God. It expresses our desire to obey his word. It expresses our knowledge of what his word says and calls upon us to do. And God will honor such a prayer as that. So we need to remember that even if the master in this lesson that we're talking about here is not good and gentle, we're still, that does not relieve us of the responsibility to follow God's word. 1 Timothy chapter 6. 1 Timothy chapter 6. Another parallel passage to this same principle being taught. 1 Timothy chapter 6. Let as many servants as are under the yoke count their own masters worthy of all honor. All right? Now, that didn't tell us to decide whether they're worthy of it. That tells us the kind of attitude we're to have toward them. All right? That the name of God and his doctrine be not blasphemed. Well, that sounds serious. If we're not going to follow the word of God, and if we're going to act contrary to what God's word teaches, and other people are going to observe us acting contrary to what he teaches, then in effect we're denying what the word of God says. We may not be denying it with our words, but we certainly are denying it with our actions. And which ones carry more weight? Actions speak louder than words. I believe I've heard somewhere along the line, haven't you? Actions speak louder than words. So we can deny the teachings of God's word by our actions without actually saying anything about it. All right, so he says, again, let as many servants as are under the yoke count their own masters worthy of all honor, that the name of God and his doctrine be not blasphemed. This is serious business. Now, verse 2, he says, and they that have believing masters. Now, it's a blessing to be able to work in an environment where those who are your supervisors and so forth are believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's a blessing, isn't it? And it's such a blessing that there's times that people would be tempted to take advantage of that. And they would be tempted to forget that relationship that they have and try to act like maybe that some of those requirements don't apply to them because they're brethren in the Lord. So what he's telling us here is to guard against that. He says, and they that have believing masters, let them not despise them. In other words, don't be envious because they're at maybe a higher position or that they're telling you what to do. Don't despise them. They're doing their job. Okay? He says, let them not despise them because they are brethren, but rather do them service because they are faithful and beloved, partakers of the benefit. These things teach and exhort. Now, what that passage calls upon us to do is that when we're in an environment where our supervisors or those above us are Christians, don't think that that exempts us from honoring that employer and employee relationship. It's still in place. We still have the responsibility to do a good job. We still have the responsibility to follow these principles that are given to us in the Word of God. All right, now let's come back to Ephesians 6. There's a lot of people fanning in here. Can someone turn down the thermostat a little bit? All right, coming back to Ephesians chapter 6. When Paul says in verse 5, Ephesians 6, verse 5, servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling. With fear and trembling. Now, what that's calling upon us to do is, and we've noticed this in some of the other passages that we went to, we're to render the appropriate respect to their position. Okay? It may be a person occupying that position that doesn't really deserve any respect. But as Christians, as disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ, as ones who want to be obedient to the Word of God, we need to honor that position and fulfill our role in whatever level we are in a way that would be pleasing to the Lord. And leave the rest of it to the Lord to take care of. All right? So he says, with fear and trembling. As we went through the relationship between husbands and wives, as we went through the relationship between children and parents, we noticed that there was something about submission that was taught. God gives an order. And they're each one in that order is supposed to be submissive to the one above them in that order. All right? Well, that's true here. In this fear and trembling, as we go about fulfilling our role and doing our responsibility and whatever we're called upon to do, then we're to do it with respect, submitting to that authority. You know, that's a principle that's greatly lacking in our culture today, isn't it? Respecting authority. Work ethic is something that's a vanishing, isn't it? I mean, I'm glad I don't have to employ a bunch of people today. And I read 30 years ago, some speaker, whatever, with regard to business and management was saying that employers were reporting on a regular basis that employees had to be reminded to show up for work. You know, you would think that would just be understood. If somebody's going to say they'll do a job, and if they expect to get a paycheck, then what comes in between there is doing the job, isn't it? But we're living in a culture today with so many that's just looking for a handout. Okay? Let's not, and the only reason I bring that up, you were well aware of that, but the only reason I bring it up is the admonition from Scripture is don't be one of those people. Walk according to the teachings of the Bible. That's what all this is about. We don't want to be one of those people. We don't want to walk as other Gentiles walk, as he said way back in, what was it, chapter 2? All right, so what we need to do then is to understand what he's saying and try to follow it as best we can. So after he says to obey with fear and trembling, he says in singleness of your heart. That your is not capitalized, not italicized, is it? In singleness of your heart. Singleness. In other words, that carries with it the idea of some dedication. That carries with it the idea of trying to do the best you can to apply yourself to that job. Not be half-hearted. Not be double-minded. Okay? Both of those situations are detrimental to the job, aren't they? Somebody that's half-hearted, that doesn't really care so much about how they get the job done, that's not going to be good at all. All right? Well, somebody that's double-minded, somebody that's trying to do other things while they're supposed to be or while they're on the clock to be doing another job, that's not good either. All right, so you consider all these things, and it's amazing when you stop and think about these few principles that he's given us here to guide us, how much this really covers. The attitude we're to have, how that we're to do these things as unto the Lord. You know, look beyond that supervisor. That's a blessing if you've got somebody that you work for, that you respect, and that you agree with. That's a blessing. But if it happens to be the situation that you don't have that, this passage tells us, look beyond that. We're doing it as if we're serving the Lord. Because ultimately we are, aren't we? I mean, everything we have is a blessing from the Lord. It may have come from a lot of different sources, but it's what the Lord has blessed us with in this life. And so we may have a sour attitude about this or that, but ultimately the Lord is our paymaster. You know, there are blessings in obedience, and there's the other side of the coin, isn't there? And he's going to get to that in a little bit. We got to pick up the pace. All right, so he says, in singleness of your heart as unto Christ. If we would just keep that in mind as we go about our day, that really, ultimately, we are serving the Lord. Boy, that would help us tremendously, I believe. Believe that would help us to do a better job. All right, verse 6. Not with eye service as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. Eye service, what is that? Not with eye service as men pleasers. There's your clue. When the boss is around, you might be the hardest working person in the office. But when the boss is not around, you may not work at all. But if the boss can see you, you work real hard, real diligent. Men pleasers, eye service. In other words, you're rendering service as long as they can see you. You ever seen anybody do that? We might have been guilty of doing that ourselves. The Lord's not pleased with that. See, employers can see you from time to time, but God sees you all the time. Not only does he see, he knows. Because he's not limited to the outward appearance. God looketh upon the heart. And so when we're exhorted from Scripture not to be men pleasers and not to render eye service, he's telling us, don't be diligent in doing all these things just when they can see you, because you've got one that's watching all the time. He sees and he knows, and ultimately he's our paymaster. Do you understand what Paul's saying here? There's a lot more to this than some people stop to think about. God is telling us this is the way it ought to be, and he's the one that's watching all the time. And so he knows. How would you like the Lord to fill out your evaluation sometime? That'd be a great idea, wouldn't it? No, preacher. You've stopped preaching and gone to meddling now. But that's the truth of the matter. And that evaluation that we get, you know, we may see one on paper that our employer did, but the Lord's taking care of the whole. He's taking care of all of it. All right? So we're not to be rendering eye service as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. And that's where it has to start, isn't it? It needs to be in our heart that we want to please God, because He's the one that's beyond our employer. He's the one that's watching over. He's ultimately the paymaster. We want to serve Him. We want to please Him. We want to follow His word from the heart. And if it's in your heart to do it, you'll find a way to do it. You know, the longer I live, the more I'm convinced that folks are going to do what they want to do. They're going to find a way to do what they want to do. So if folks are not doing something that you would like for them to do, you just know it's just not that high on their list. They allow other things to get in the way. That's true in the workplace. It's true in the church. It's true in the community. It's true in whatever sphere of influence you want to look at. People are going to do what they want to do. And if they're frustrated because they want to do it and can't, they can go to the Lord and ask for His help. But I'm afraid sometimes we stop before we do that. Bless your hearts. If it's in our heart to do, and if it's right to do it, and if it would please the Lord for us to do it, He'll help us. He'll help us. I'm not sure how He'll go about doing it, but He does. He can help us. All right? So He says, doing the will of God from the heart. Verse 7, with good will, doing service as to the Lord and not to men. Now, we've talked about that in several different ways, but that's... It really kind of sums it up right here. With goodwill, doing service as to the Lord. Goodwill, desiring for good to come of it, desiring that what we do is according to God's good way, and so sincerely trying to accomplish that. Goodwill, doing service as to the Lord and not to men. Again, we've talked about that already. We're serving the Lord ultimately, aren't we? As disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ, whatever comes in between that in our work day and then afterwards in our families and then whatever we do in the community, ultimately we're serving the Lord. And I hope that we don't have the idea that we stop serving the Lord when we go to our job. We're still His child. We're still His special treasure. We're still trying to please Him. We're still trying to show His love to others around about us. And so as to the Lord and not to men. Verse 8, knowing, and here's the big why. Here's the takeaway. Knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall he receive of his boss. I changed the word there. But I'm talking about the ultimate. The same shall he receive of the Lord. So we see who's in control. We're doing this as unto, we're supposed to be doing this as unto the Lord, not unto men. And whatever good thing we do, the same shall we receive of the Lord. You ever heard that principle before? Let's see. Sometimes it's called the golden rule, isn't it? Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. You like that rule? Well, when you're doing good. The golden rule. How about sowing and reaping? Whatever we've sown, we're going to reap. You like that rule? Sometimes. when we've done good, we like that rule. Because you see, the harvest is many times more than what's sown. Right? You plant one seed, you're liable to get 100 back. Well, that's kind of sobering, isn't it? To think that you do good deeds and, wow, you'll be blessed and blessed. But if you do bad deeds, there's still coming a harvest. There's still coming a harvest. And it's inescapable. All right, so whatsoever, knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Lord, whether he be bond or free. So he's still talking about this relationship here. And, you know, we talked about servants and masters. Sometimes servants in that culture were servants voluntarily. Sometimes they owed a debt and they were working out their indebtedness. Sometimes they were purchased as slaves and had to remain in that position. But whatever you find yourself in, and today, like I said, mainly what we're talking about is the employee-employer relationship. But there's indebtedness today. There's those things, those requirements that are placed upon us that we just have to fulfill. And so we want to do it in the right way. We want to follow God's word, and we want to honor that and do it as unto the Lord and not just unto men. And remember that whatsoever good thing we do, the same shall we receive of the Lord. Verse 9. And ye masters. So all of this so far has related to servants or the employee side of it. But in one verse here, he's going to consider the other side of it and show the responsibility that the master or the employer has in this. And ye masters, do the same things. So it's really not anything different here that he's going to say to the masters. But what he is saying is, when he says do the same things, we understand there's an order, there's a respect that has to be given to those above us. But in principle, the idea of fairness, the idea of kindness, the idea of doing good, those same things apply no matter what position we're in. It's not that when you get to the top of the chain, you don't have to be kind and fair anymore. Would that a lot of folks would remember that, don't you? All right? No matter where we are in that hierarchy, we still are under the same guiding Christian principles of being kind and gentle and fair as was given to the servants. So he says, and ye masters, do the same things unto them, forbearing, threatening. In other words, if you have the authority, why would you need to threaten? You know? If you have the authority, why dip to that? We've got guiding principles. We've got those things that we need to honor. So he says, forbearing, threatening. If you've got a reference Bible, the center column there, the translators gave us the word moderating. In other words, be moderate in the way you handle things. All right? So he says, forbearing, threatening. Why? Knowing that your master, by the way, that's a capital M there for master, knowing that your master also is in heaven. That same thought keeps coming back, doesn't it? The Lord's watching. The Lord knows. The Lord's going to settle the matter. He's the paymaster. What good thing we've done, we'll receive of the Lord. But if we do the bad things, we're also going to receive of the Lord. You see, this is not only guidance for the master, it's protection for the servant. That servant can depend upon the Lord and rest upon the fact that ultimately God is the one that will settle the matter. Isn't this wonderful? That God loves us so much that he would give us instruction for all these different relationships that we encounter in life, so that if we follow those things, we'll find more joy and peace. Life will be so much better. I can't tell you it'll be without problems. That's just not reality. But when you've got peace with God, when you're resting and trusting in God, you could deal with your problems in a whole lot better fashion, because you've got him on your side. But if you're fighting against him, you're going to lose every time. And so God loves us enough that he taught us in general how we're to be a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ and honor God. He's taught husbands and wives. He's taught parents and children. He's taught employers and employees. He's given us these different aspects to see how, or to teach us how, we're to conduct ourselves as disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ in whatever situation we find ourselves. And how wonderful, in the wisdom of God, he can cover so much ground in just a few words and a few principles. You know, somehow I think the Lord had me in mind when he knew that he needed to keep it simple. What a blessing that he remembered all of us when he keeps his teachings simple. But even though they're simple, they're simply profound. And so as you look at those simple principles, don't think that they're just very limited and you need to seek the experts. There's benefits that we can get from experts in education. But the best thing to do is to start out reading these principles, praying that God would open the eyes of our understanding, and that he would give us wisdom to apply them. Because when you start applying some of these simply profound principles, a lot of these other things never happen that you have to deal with. Now that's profound. That's profound. And that's preferred, isn't it? If we stay close to the Lord, stay close to his word, following him in paths of righteousness, there's a lot of things we won't have to worry about. We won't have to deal with. Now, he can help us in whatever the situation, but I'm telling you, it'll be better to follow the word of God. And so he said again, verse 9, "And ye masters, do the same things unto them, forbearing, threatening, knowing that your master also is in heaven. Neither is there respect of persons with him." Amen and amen. Aren't you glad that he'll listen to you just as much as he'll listen to your boss? Aren't you glad that your boss doesn't have a higher regard with the Lord than you do? There's no respect. Now, respect, being respecters of persons, happens all the time in this world. Some people say it's what makes the world go round. They don't know God set that in motion already. It's going according to his power. They want to ascribe some great thing to man and what man can do. Bless your hearts, he's no respecter of persons. Now, I know that you have to take the context there, because there's other places where he had respect to Abel instead of Cain, didn't he? But consider the context. The general guiding principle is, God doesn't listen to your employer more than he listens to you. Follow his word. Do what's right. Have peace with God. And you can lie down at night and rest, knowing that you've done what you could. And you can depend upon the Lord to do the rest. May God help us to do just that.